Amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for being with us as we gather here on Sabbath day to be in your presence and to be blessed by your truth. Thank you for blessing us all throughout the week and keeping us safe to that point to where we can gather today. And thank you for blessing everyone that's in attendance and those that are going to be coming in a few moments with changing of the showbread. We also uplift all those that are on our prayer list, especially our sons and daughters and their sons and daughters and their spouses. And thank you for making this Sabbath day a special, blessed day for us and giving us opportunities to share our faith with others. And thank you also for the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing from all unrighteousness, and for blessing us with the latter rain, so we can go forth and do what your people are prophesied to do in these last days. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Lord, our Savior, and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And amen. Okay, we left off at question number 2 of study number 23. And the question is, how is this beast described? And of course, the beast we're talking about it here is the one that John saw coming up out of the earth. And question number 1 got into that. It had 2 horns like a lamb, too. And it spake as a dragon. So, how is this beast described? Well, Revelation 13, verse 11 says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Well, the study goes on to say, from the start, the United States of America was characterized by its unique separation of church and state, allowing freedom of religion to all people, but its lamb-like bearing is to reverse into a power that speaks as a dragon. The reason the term another beast is used here is because the first beast had already come up upon the scene, and the beast was, of course, Vatican City. We already learned in the previous question about why it came out of the earth as opposed to the sea of the first beast. So I won't get into that here, but this prophetic verse also describes it as a beast that has 2 lamb-like horns. If you study prophecy, you know that the lamb in prophecy depicts Jesus Christ. There are many, many verses in the Old and New Testament to confirm this, but my favorite one is, of course, what John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, verse 29. When he saw Jesus coming towards him, he said, it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So according to the prophecy, this beast that comes from the earth will be a nation that is built upon Christian principles. As anyone with a competent knowledge of history will tell you, the USA did in fact start as a Protestant or anti-Catholic nation because of all those in her formation knew all too well about Rome's, bloodthirsty past, wherein they forced people to become Catholics, and if they refused, they would be tortured to death. Kind of like what Islam's doing today. And the reason Islam kills Christians today is because Rome killed Christians during their day, just like the prophecy said, for that 1,260 years that we learned about earlier. And they actually killed 500 million Christians. This is why I don't really trust the media today when they say that Islam is killing 1 Christian every 2 minutes. I'm thinking they're killing 1 Christian every 1 minute, just like Rome did during the 1,260 years. Because right now, Islam's only averaging 200,000 Christians being killed a year, whereas Rome did 400,000. Well, 396,000 and some change, if you did the averages. If you did 500 million divided by the 1,260, you'll get that number. But that's, of course, would go into a whole nother study. I do have some information on the website in regards to how the Vatican invented the Nation of Islam. Well, not so much the nation, but their theology behind their nation. They wrote their Quran. We've got evidence of that. The Jesuit priest that let that information out was murdered for his testimony. But there was two main reasons they did it. Satan, of course, wanted them to do it because of what's going on today. They wanted to do it in the beginning so that they can get the Jews out of Jerusalem. Just like the prophet Daniel said, they really want that land in Jerusalem. This is why they got sovereign authority over some of the holy sites already, which is really difficult for those that are out there preaching the king of the north is Turkey, especially now that the Pope is in Turkey right now. He got there yesterday on Friday. And the reason I say that is because they claim that the Turkish government will be the ones that will come into Jerusalem and get that sovereign authority, when in fact the Vatican's had that for years. But anyway, the two lamb horns of this lamb-like beast suggests two separate kingdoms within one power. Unlike the papal church and state power under the little horn or single horn power of the papacy in America's infancy, actually in their infancy as well, too, because they've always had that little horn, and that little horn, of course, is the Pope himself. But in America's infancy, and still somewhat to this day, we have a separation of two powers in direct protest to the Vatican structure. Rome's little horn power displays the church and state power standing as one absolute power, wherein the USA horns are separated, as we see with the separation of church and state right now, but that's not going to be for too much longer. But I'd like to share what Uriah Smith said on page 538 of the book Daniel and Revelation. He says, I don't know where he got this. I think this is some kind of a, this looks like some kind of a government transcript. It says, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the United States of America reads, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. And then Article 5 says, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. The First Amendment of the Constitution, Article 1, begins as follows. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. These articles profess the amplest guarantee of civil and religious liberty, the entire perpetual separation of church and state. And this is why they are right now, and I did two videos about this, by the way, they're right now rewriting a brand new U.S. Constitution, and they're writing it in the exact same building that they wrote the first one hundreds of years ago. This was prophesied to happen, though. I mean, if you look around, I mean, they tried it with the little, you know, little bits here and little bits there by just amending this and amending that, and it just didn't work. So then instead of doing all the amendments, they decided to go ahead and just rewrite the whole thing. But one could see some of the little amendments that they put in there over the years, one in particular, the blue laws of John F. Kennedy, the first Roman Catholic president, where he stated all government agencies should be closed on Sunday. That was somewhat of a prophetic event, but it was more or less a testing of the waters for the most part. But if you look around today, all the other nations that are at war right now, the reason they're at war is because the Vatican's insisting that they change their constitutions as well to allow for one religion. They call it freedom of religion, and their definition of freedom of religion is what you see in China. You're free to be Roman Catholic, and that's it. They have a state religion, and even though they claim it's Christianity and stuff like that, if you notice, a lot of the Christians are being killed in China. Just like any place else, like in India and all that, but not so much as you see them being killed by Islam. But they are being killed. They're meeting in hovels. They actually have the Great Firewall of China right now, too. So if you're in China and you don't know how to get around certain firewalls and stuff like that, if you go to remnantofgod.org, it blocks you. You cannot go to this website or any other Christian website, for that matter. They don't even care if they're Sunday keepers. They don't want anybody going in China to go into any Christian websites at all. And by the way, that Great Firewall of China software is in the D-Link routers. Those have always been my favorite routers, and I still use them to this day, but I found out a few years ago that if you put on the parental controls, my website is defined as a terrorist website because of that firewall software from China. So anyway, this church and state separation is not going to last because they can't let it last. It cannot be allowed to last because of the prophecy. They have to enforce the mark. So, but as we saw with Lyndon Johnson, his 501c3 invention in 1954, which was given life in 2006 by President George Bush, the young one. We can see the image of the beast in Rome is coming to power in the USA right now. And it's just on paper now. We know this. And all the, you know, like the Ninth Hour Church, everybody here understands which church that is. It has the 501c3. Actually, it was the first to get it. And actually, they drafted something similar to a 501c3 in 1886, no less. But again, that's a whole other story, or sermon, if you will, or study. All the churches are doing it right now, and with the agreement of the 501c3, they also have the ability to lobby law. They haven't flexed their muscles yet. They have been given, you know, their power. They have what they need. They just haven't done it yet. So this is why the prophecy says that the beast will eventually start to speak as a dragon. And in prophecy, we understand the dragon is a definition of Satan, the devil. So looking at the unjust laws in America today, you know, wherein killing babies is legal and homosexual marriage is legal and true Christians are becoming third-class citizens, we see the dragon is speaking boldly right now already. He's already doing it. You know, like there's, I remember the Philadelphia 11, and a lot of people were shocked when they saw that, especially some of the people that frequent the site. When I put that one article on a year or two before the Philadelphia 11, wherein I says this is going to happen in the United States of America too, because it's happening in Canada. In Canada, if you share Jesus Christ with a homosexual, you can get 5 years in jail and a $5,000 fine. It's mainly because their political leaders are homosexuals, and they don't like this. And so it was easy to see. I kind of figured it was going to be when the ink was finally dry on the paper in regards to the New World Order, but, you know, they do what they do. And, yeah, it hasn't become coast-to-coast illegal to do things or share Jesus Christ with homosexuals, but if you notice, every time Christians go out and try to share with them, the homosexuals, they get upset and they get them thrown in jail and what, like they, what happened in Philadelphia with what they call the Philadelphia 11. It was 11 Christians that went out and the Pink Angels was, they were attacking them. And even though they were the ones that were the aggressors, the Christians ended up in the jail. But still, I still blame the Christians like I did in that homosexual marriage video that I made, because you can't go out there yelling and screaming at people. I mean, if that's the case, then use that same theology when you go to the bars. Stand out in front of bars and yell and scream at the drunks and tell them they're all going to hell in a handbasket and tell them how evil they are and how disgusting they are. Or for that matter, you can go on any street corner and do the same thing when people come out of Walgreens with a pack of cigarettes in their pocket. I mean, it's sin is sin. There is no real, you know, like Rome says. And this is one of the reasons it is the way it is today is because of Rome. Rome goes out there and tells people you've got mortal and venial sins. That's right. That's their invention, of course. But they say there's sins that are mortal, which you definitely go to hell for, and then there's venial sins, where you'll just get a little slap on the wrist from God. And sin is sin. You know, if you have any unconfessed sin upon you, when the eastern sky splits or when you die, you're not going to have a good resurrection afterwards. It's not going to go good. You have to confess and repent, no matter what the sin is. And just as we see with what's going on in the U.S. government, Rome has taken over, just as she planned and boasted of doing so in her documents. And that's why I did a video recently about this, you know, and I'm still getting angry emails about it in regards to how Mary worship is destroying Europe, and then immigration will destroy religious liberty in the USA because of what the Vatican is planning to do. We all know that all the Mexicans that come in from Mexico are, what was it, 89.3% are Roman Catholic. And so that allows for more Roman Catholic. Well, here, let me just share some of these quotes. I use these in the video, as a matter of fact. And this first one is from a priest by the name of F.X. Talbot. He was the editor of America's official Jesuit magazine for the U.S., and he made this statement in the New York Globe in 1930, 1 year after, well, not even a year, after the Vatican was able to get their church and state, or their wound, started healing, as the prophecy would say, because we all know what happened at the end of the 1260 years, and we all know what happened in 1929. And I'm not talking about the crash, although the crash happened directly after the Vatican gained its power as a church and state once again. Anyway, this is what this priest said back then. He says, the old Protestant culture is about at the end of its rope. Why can't we make the U.S. Catholic in legislation, Catholic in justice, aims, and ideals? And then the Bishop O'Connor of Pittsburgh said, religious liberty is merely endured until the opposite can be carried out into or carried into effect without peril to the Catholic Church. You know what that means, don't you? Religious liberty will be allowed only if you're Catholic. In other words, let's read it again. It says, religious liberty is merely endured until the opposite can be carried into effect, which means remove religious liberty, but without peril to the Catholic Church, which means remove religious liberty except for the Catholics, like they did in China. And so that's what they're going to do in this nation. This is a prophetic fact. It will happen. As a matter of fact, look what happened with Kenneth Copeland. When he had, and everybody seems to think that was a big church, 3,000 people. Well, that's still just a bunch of people. It's not like this is going to spread much, but they don't seem to realize that those weren't pew warmers. All those people at that meeting when Pope Francis and Kenneth Copeland were talking via the camera, in front of all those people, those were pastors. Those were thousands of pastors that lead thousands of churches in the U.S. that are going to spread this message that all the Pentecostals now are calling themselves Roman Catholics. So it's already started. And then it goes on to say, this next quote I got in the last one, it's from the Shepherd of the Valley, which is an actual journal of the Bishop of St. Louis. Well, he's dead now, but this is what is his journal. And it says, if Catholics ever gain sufficient numerical majority in this country, and this is why the borders are open, because anybody that comes in from Mexico is 89.3% of the time going to be a Roman Catholic, so this is what they're going for. So it says, if Catholics ever gain sufficient numerical majority in this country, religious freedom is at an end. So our enemies say, so we believe. So right now, the majority of the Senate is Roman Catholic by denomination and Roman Catholic by approval. The Supreme Court is also Roman Catholic by majority. That means Roman Catholics have the majority in all voting processes across the board in America right now, already. And then Alberto Rivera, an ex-Jesuit priest, exposed the Vatican's plans, as I mentioned a moment ago, in many ways before they murdered him for it, to silence him. One of his exposures was the secret sign that was given amongst the Jesuit order. He stated the following. All right, he said this, and this is from the Godfathers, and the Godfathers, he calls it, the book. And then it's the Godfathers, semicolon, Alberto, page 3, part 3, and then page 26. It says, a secret sign was given to the Jesuits worldwide when the ecumenical movement had successfully wiped out Protestantism. In other words, anybody that's against the Catholic Church and exposes it, right? In preparation for the signing of the concordat between the Vatican and the U.S., the sign was to be when a president of the U.S. took the oath of office facing an obelisk, or what they call today the Washington Monument. Now, many of you heard me mention this sign in sermons and Bible studies over the years. But to go a little bit into more detail so as to have a permanent record of this online, I could say that from March 4th of 1837, when President Martin Van Buren was inaugurated into the office of presidency to all the way to January 20th, 1977, when President Jimmy Carter was inaugurated, the inauguration ceremony was always conducted on the east portico of the Capitol building, with the president taking the oath of office facing the United States flag. But when Ronald Reagan, now keep in mind that Alberto Rivera made this statement, and then was killed, and then later on Ronald Reagan goes and does what he does, right? So. But when Ronald Reagan, who worked hand-in-hand with Pope John Paul II to topple the nation of Russia, which in turn dropped the Berlin Wall, as we all know. Well, now, that was a good thing, but he was sworn into his second term in a different manner than any other U.S. president before him. He faced the Washington Monument, or the largest obelisk on planet Earth, which is actually a smaller copy of the same obelisk or phallic symbol that is erected in St. Peter's Square in the Vatican. On the United States government website, it says this. I couldn't believe this when I found this. It says, since the first inauguration of President Reagan in 19—listen to the excuse they give, okay? It says, since the first inauguration of President Reagan in 1981, the swearing-in ceremonies have been held on the west front of the U.S. Capitol building, which is the portico, right? The only exception was the 1985 swearing-in of President Reagan's second term. Now, here's their excuse. When cold weather forced the ceremony into the Capitol Rotunda. Never in the history of America did cold weather prevent a president from being sworn in at the western front side of the U.S. Capitol. They simply lied about the weather so as to hide a secret sign that had been globally broadcast in advance around the world to all the Jesuits that Rome had taken complete control of the United States government. If you look into Reagan's administrative changes in the White House, you'll find he united the U.S. government with the Vatican in many ways. And now do you see why he is uplifted as the perfect president by most politicians today? I mean, even Rush Limbaugh speaks of this man and worships him and claims that he was a president for the people. It's obvious what's going on with Reagan. And it's also obvious what happened with Reagan and John Paul too. The judgment was upon them for what they did. They were prophetically placed in the position they were at. They were obviously tested by the Lord. They failed their tests, and both of them had very sad outcomes to their lives. You know, very, very, very difficult to watch someone dwindle away like that. It's difficult. So, anyway, let's see if we can do question number three, finish with this for today. It says, how much power will this beast exercise? Speaking of the United States of America. Revelation 13:12 says, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, as we know, this is the United States of America that's being talked about, and we also know who the first beast was. And as we learn in lesson number 21, the first beast is, of course, the Roman Catholic Church that received its power from the Roman kingdom of the Caesars. Now, historic fact is there has never been a world power or global kingdom that was as Rome claimed to be later on when pagan Rome, who history also confirms were worshippers of Satan. Anyone with a competent understanding of paganism will agree this is the case. In fact, what are most modern-day pagans considered to be today? Witches, right? And we all know how witches are, in fact, daughters of Satan. For my teen years, I knew this because of some of the people that I used to hang with. They consider themselves daughters of Satan. That being said, pagan Rome did, in fact, give unto papal Rome her power, as Revelation 13:4 predicted would happen. That passage said the dragon gave power unto the beast. And we all know that the dragon is, in fact, Satan, according to Revelation 12, verse 9. So Satan never stands before man in his true form. He's never going to do it. He's not allowed this option. 1 Corinthians 10:13 explains why. We're not to be tempted above our ability to handle it, right? Especially the Christians. So he has to continually possess men to do his will in every generation. At this time, history confirms the dragon was attacking the Christian faith. It was Rome it chose to administer its hatred at that time. You know, the Christians being killed in the Colosseums and eaten by lions and so on and so forth. And they would even light up the Colosseum at night with Christians all around the edges of the Colosseum that were on fire so as to light up the place. This is not something anyone needs convincing of because it's an open fact of historic record that Christians were killed by Rome. So the fact is, even the gospel portrays the definition of the true identity of the dragon at this time as well. We know the dragon is Satan, but who was he using in Jesus' day? Well, a Roman official sought to kill the baby Jesus, causing the deaths of many little boys that was prophesied to occur. A Roman governor condemns Jesus to die. Now, yes, we understand the Jews had their hand in this, but they had no political power at that time. They had to convince the Roman government to do these things. And the Roman government had no problem with doing it, just like today. Then it says, you know, it goes on, a Roman soldier whips Jesus. These, of course, I have these notes online already. A Roman band of soldiers beat and mock Jesus. A Roman executioner crucifies Jesus. A Roman official seals the tomb of Jesus. A Roman squad of soldiers kept watch on the tomb of Jesus to try to prevent him from resurrecting. A Roman governor placed all followers of Jesus in peril after that day. And then a Roman Colosseum is where the Christians were fed to the lions. So Rome most assuredly allowed the dragon's will to be enacted back then, just as it does today. Rome is all the dragon can hope to become. Pagan Rome is his masterpiece. But looking at the popes of today, as well as times past, one can see absolute Roman rule runs through the veins of this hierarchy. The clothing, the architecture, the laws, the belief structure, the art, the lifestyles, the pharmaceutical religiosity. And that's right, yeah, because they, for years I was looking for ways to lock it down in regards to, you know, what it says in scriptures about the Vatican using sorcery. And the word sorcery is from the Greek word pharmakia, which is from our modern word pharmacy. And just, last year, the Vatican got in big trouble globally when they were found to have been involved with Canada, the government of Canada, where, in regards to the pharmaceutical industry, they have had their hands in it ever since it started, just like the prophecy said, but no one had proof until last year. But we had been preaching that for decades anyway. We just knew eventually their hand's going to be shown. But you got the political savvy, you got the global reach, you got all of it. This proves the prophecy is fulfilled in Roman Catholicism. And in fact, Pope Pius IX couldn't have been more accurate when he said in his Discorsi on page 253 that the Caesar who now addresses you and to whom alone are obedience and fidelity due. And that quote confirms what Daniel said about this final beast being diverse or different than any other kingdom before it. I mean, today, Roman Catholic popes not only stand as leaders in their supposed churches, they also stand as leaders in their nation. Never before in the history of mankind do we see a church and state form of government that has a global reach as we see with the Vatican. Every political leader in our day alone has either been photographed worshiping the popes by bowing before them, or their political actions in unison with him have confirmed their loyalty. Meaning even Yasser Arafat was photographed kissing the pope's ring. And he's a Muslim. And of course they murdered him, about a year later? They just recently dug his body up to find out if it was true what the scuttlebutt was about him being poisoned by the Vatican. And they've done all the tests, but for some odd reason, they never released the information on it. And to further confirm this diversity that Daniel the prophet speaks of, notice what's now happening in the USA. I mean, speaking of the second beast, or USA as we know it, the prophecy says he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Well, the 501c3 of all the churches, including the Ninth Hour Church that was once obedient to her Lord, has succumbed to the prophesied temptation. I mean, it's bad enough that all the churches have emulated the woman on a beast structure of the Vatican by signing the 501c3 as of March 7th, 2006. Bush signed it into law that they are now considered official government agencies. These are no longer churches now. They're government agencies. That is the law now of the land. If you have a 501c3, you're a government agency. If you're a pastor in that church, you are a government agent, period. Just as the prophecy said, church and state is mixing together in America. The image of the beast is here. So in short, the prophecy we're now studying was fulfilled that day. America now exercises all the power of the first beast before him because the Catholic Church is a church and state. And now soon, the 501c3 government pastors are going to start to yield their hell-given powers to lobby law. And it is then we will see the same vicious, absolute, bloodthirsty power of the first beast emulated in the second beast when those Sunday laws are passed. I hope and pray that you are blessed. I'll be back in a minute.